Romans 6, we'll just read a few of these verses before we start a little discussion. And in verse 1 it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." We'll just stop the reading there. And as you may have surmised or not, but our subject this morning is that of baptism. Baptism is a pretty deep study. There's a lot of different baptisms in the Word of God. It's not our point here this morning, or at least not my point, to try to go in depth on this subject, but rather just to see maybe and think and consider what the Lord has to say about us as believers and his request, or perhaps command for us as believers in regards to baptism. I think one thing we need to understand and realize that in the teaching of God's Word is that as an individual comes to know Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, that he is baptized into Christ's death. Meaning that we then, as it were, have died with Christ. And immediately, the Spirit of God is given to those who know him, who have trusted him, have put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Immediately, the Spirit of God indwells that person. And so if you're here this morning and you have the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have that forgiveness of sins, the Spirit of God dwells in your heart. Whether you maybe realize it or not, it's a fact. And the other thing is whether or not we allow the Spirit of God that dwells in us to rule our lives and to control us is another thing. Because it's possible to take and to quench the Spirit of God that's given to us at our time of salvation. So there's a couple aspects to baptism. There's that baptism that we have received and put through, as you might say, spiritually when we come to know Christ as Savior. But there's also a literal part to that baptism, and that's when a believer recognizes his position, his responsibility, and his privilege to follow the Lord in actual waters of baptism. In Acts chapter, if we don't have to turn to it, but in the 10th chapter of Acts, it talks about the Gentiles, those who by faith had come to know Christ in a personal way, received that Spirit of God, and then they were baptized. It was like an automatic thing almost. It was something that just is in order with that idea of coming to know Christ. They became identified with him through baptism. But I think this morning, one of the things that I would like to point out, and I've asked three different men to also give a little something to say on this. We're going to have that in just a bit. But one of the things that is very important that we need to comprehend and understand is that baptism is not any part of salvation. And that is a tricky thing for a lot of people, because they feel that because they've been baptized as an infant, perhaps, that they're okay. But the Word of God, this is God's Word. His message to us, and in nowhere does it teach that baptism has anything really to do with salvation other than identifying ourselves with Christ and having salvation comes as a result of our believing faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. That's it. That's taught in the scripture. There's probably one reference said at least 150 places in the New Testament where salvation is the emphasis, where saving faith, believing faith, is the way to for salvation. Nothing to do with baptism. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, it says this: "But without faith," okay, two words here, "without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him." If you're seeking after God, he's going to reveal himself to you. He does that through his word, the Bible. So, recommendation, if you're seeking God and wondering where, this is where it is. Read your Bible. We might try to define faith in the first chapter of Hebrews, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and the first verse, it says, "For faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen." Now that's a lot of words, and sometimes it could be confusing and not real understandable. Maybe we could say this. Faith defined could be this: believe the report that God has given, that's in his word, and act accordingly. And I think if we did that, we would be carrying out that idea of faith. Believe the report of God and act accordingly to it. In Romans chapter 3, here's the report of God. He says, "For all have sinned," and that's inclusive, "all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That's the report of God to men and women. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Again, the report of God. And then in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess, and here's the great news, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, this thing, confession is made unto salvation. This is the report of God. And if you, salvation comes by acting upon this report. Recognize that we're sinners, lost, headed for hell. Believe that the Lord Jesus is the one that provided the way for us by his death on the cross, and receive it into our heart, and then confess it before men. Salvation is a holy and solely thing of believing faith. Look, example. Turn to Luke 23. We're in that book of Luke this morning, but look at Luke 23. We're going to read kind of a familiar thing, an account, as we break in at the 39th verse. They did have this again this morning. "And one of the malefactors," or criminals, crooks, "that were hanged on the cross," the Lord Jesus is on the cross now. You've got malefactors on both sides, criminals, "railed on him, saying, If thou be the Christ, save us, save thyself and us. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we have received the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto the Lord Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Here's an account of two thieves being crucified alongside either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. One rejecting, one receiving. There's no room for baptism here. There's no water around the cross. They were received up into glory, or he was received up into glory as he recognized the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So why then baptism? The question comes. What's the point? What's the point of baptism? A couple scriptures here. Matthew 28:19, the Great Commission. Our Lord gave his disciples and all of us. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost." That's the end of that verse. There's another one that goes with it. But the word here isn't to the person that's going to preach to, it's to the preacher. He says, to those that would teach and preach, he says, go tell the gospel and then baptize them in the name of the Father. It's, as we said earlier, it's a progression. It's the thing that a believer should feel a responsibility to do after you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Become identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. Mark 16:16. Now this is a verse that could be confusing maybe to some as they might read it. Because if we read it quickly, it says this: he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's the first part of the verse. Okay. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So while you might read that verse and say, well, you've got to be baptized in order to be saved, part of salvation. But that's not the teaching of the Word of God. As we said, in other places in the Word of God, it teaches solely and wholly that salvation is a part, is not part, I mean, baptism is not part of salvation, where it says at the end there. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Say that he didn't believe and get baptized in the end. It was those that don't believe. So I think we can conclude that salvation has, baptism has no part in salvation. It's just the expected outward profession of our belief. Now, I've asked my brother if maybe he could just say something about maybe the events, and we'll just let him talk about it, but that surrounded his death. Don Tom.
Well, as you all know, I've been here ever since I was a little baby. Sunday school, and heard the teaching and everything about salvation, about baptism, all the rest of the teaching. That's what you might have in mind that I'm saying the rest of it. There says, say something. I don't remember it too much. I remember one thing. Anyhow, you know, the Lord Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, and the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And you know, God the Father, God the Son has emotions, but they're pleased or they're not pleased. The Father was pleased with what the Lord Jesus Christ did. We too, when we're obedient in baptism, you know, I can hear the Son saying to the Father, "There's one of my children. Follow him." And that is, and we're supposed to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, baptism is an example of what has been taken place, as Larry was trying to point out, in some future time. In some past time. Sorry about that. When we become born again, we're born into the family of God, and we have two natures. We have the spiritual nature that God gives us, but we also have the carnal nature, which is in the life of Larry said, we have to read God's word to obey it. You know, the one you feed the most, that will be the one that will have the upper hand. Baptism is just a picture of what has happened previously. We've been born again by the Spirit of God, and we're seeking to die to self, and that we're raised in newness of life, like as Christ was raised from the dead. That's the picture of baptism. Now, like I say, I've been here ever since I was a baby, and when I was about 8 years old, I was staying with my grandfather while my mother and dad was going to the doctor, and she was having a baby. Anyhow, he was babysitting for me. And now I've been in Sunday school for, 8 or 9 years, somewhere around there. And I knew about salvation, and I knew about baptism, and I knew about the Lord's Supper, and all. But you know, I wasn't a born-again believer. And you know, that day, when I was there with my grandfather, he said to me, he said, "Hey, Don, you know, I'm an 8-year-old kid, you know." He said, "You know the gospel and all this stuff, yeah?" And I said, "Yeah." Well, he said, "Wouldn't you like to be baptized? Wouldn't you like to be saved?" And you know, I said, "Yes." And we went in, and I don't know whether we knelt down by the couch or something, sat on the couch, but I received the Lord as my Savior. Now, my grandfather was a good fisherman. We've been hearing about fishing. Now, when I used to go fishing, you know, the fish would nibble on your hook. And, you know, you don't yank it right away. But, you know, there comes a time when you have to set that hook. And that day, my grandfather set that hook for me as far as salvation. Wouldn't you like to? Now, it comes to my mind, you know, in Joshua, He says, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." Now the Israelites knew everything about what was going on. And he comes and he says, "There's a time for a decision." And that's the same thing with baptism and salvation. There's a time for a decision. It's not a matter of just knowing all about it. There has to be a decision. Pastor Peter Man, salesman, came into your living room and showed you everything about a vacuum cleaner, and then he said, "Well, I guess I better be going," and he walked out the door. I don't think so. He said, "Don't you want to sign here and get this thing?" He told you all about how good it was. And that's the same thing about salvation. Well, you know, that was when I was saved. So, well, I'm still in the assembly. I come to Sunday school, I come to morning meeting and everything. And, you know, I'm about, I don't really know how old, but I was old enough to push a hand lawnmower around Bertha Tim's lawn up here. You know, we had a hand spiral lawnmower here that you had to push hard. So I was about that age. I would say I was 13 or so. And, you know, would speak about baptism from the Sunday school, and they would say, "Oh, go see one of the men, you know." Well, these very great big men were there, and I was just a little guy, you know. It wasn't easy to go up to them, you know. But anyhow, when I was there one day, Bertha Tim, she says to me, she says, "Don't you think it's about time you got baptized?" And of course, to me, meetings and the brethren have been teaching it, but you know, they always say go, you know. Well then, I guess the opportunity must have come when they must have spoke on it that they moved to somebody. So I went and saw somebody, and I don't know who. I suppose it was Ray Geiger, Happy Ray, you know, because I was a little in touch with him. Well, another, you know, when I was a boy, I came down to just apply it to the Thursday night meeting, and he's the guy that got me to do it, and I don't think I was 10 years old. Anyhow, so I was a little, so I suppose I went to him and asked for that too. But what I'm saying is that, you know, if you know the Lord as your Savior, and you're seeking to live for Him, is an outward show of what has happened in your life. And it's a step in growth from the obedience. And so Joshua called for a decision. You know the Lord, you need to get baptized too. Don't wait. Do it today. Then you seek to live for Him. You don't always do the right thing. I far from did the right thing. I was just as bad a boy as anyone. If you know God's words, as I read it, kept me on the straight, as it were. You know, don't get messed up in sex, don't get messed up in other things that would drag you down. And so I was seeking to live in that newness of life that I testified to my other boys and girls and friends there in the chapel. That's about all I do. But on two occasions, and we as Christians need to know when to give that little yank to somebody. If you know they need a little, shall we say, help, you can give it a little yank and help somebody. Maybe worth a thing just to me. I don't know. That's all I know. I don't know. That's a long, long time ago.
All right, thanks.
That's all I can remember.
Okay. Thanks, Don. And I've also asked Dan Stifler here if he would just maybe give a few comments also.
I didn't know who was, I
only
sort of
asked
a couple of people out there. I was on Berkey. But also, I've been here since I was a kid, a little bit older than I am. It's a long time. But as I thought about that, there's a danger people that attend the meetings all their lifetime. The danger is because I also heard the word of God about being saved, and I was saved as a small as an early age. Again, I can't remember too well. I can remember a couple of things that existed in the time. But it was early 9, 10, somewhere in that area, maybe, that I was saved. But if it talks about being in a new creation, I was feeling different. So again, that's maybe the danger involved. I also heard about the word of God being baptized. I remember amongst other people, my grandfather's was talking about being baptized himself. He didn't understand it all, but he really was supposed to be obedient as he baptized himself. Well, that involves a fear that I had maybe of why I wasn't. It was a big gap when I was baptized, and being married and being baptized, because of fear. What do I have to give up? I'm afraid maybe I have to give up. So again, the danger of being here, even after I was baptized, and without looking up a record or something, I can tell you the time that is. Again, I've noticed that much different because of being in the sense of my heart to thought and trying to do the right thing more or less all along, sort of. Now I realize that you make so many mistakes or something a little bit. But I mean, that's the danger of being involved with being here all the time that I think you need to take and be aware of. In contrast to that, let's turn to the past for a couple of verses there. Verse 8. right after Stephen is stoned, Paul is right there following with us. Eighth chapter, verse 1, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there was great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, some of the apostles, devoutly and carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. That's the first verse. Very interesting how we care for one another. So I wanted to read that. But verse 3 there, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, and committed them to prison. So that's what his mission was, and so I'm sure that he had tremendous fear amongst all the people. So now he's in chapter 9, and he gets saved. How do you think they should? Do they think that they trust him? They were very dubious of what he really said. They're almost going to be like Sodom and Hussein or somebody else here. It's like, we know what they are. If they actually said that they were saved, would we believe them? And so that's the condition they have with Saul. But it says here in verse 30 of chapter 9, which when the brother knew that they brought him down to such a city and sent him forth to Tarsus, then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied. So there was a difference that they didn't notice eventually in Paul's life. And so there's, and what I'm trying to say is in some people's lives, there's something definite that you can see. If I can't trust coming there, the danger of it, maybe you think you might be safe. The danger is maybe you think you don't have to do something. You're good enough. And so there's that kind of danger compared to somebody else who knows that they're definitely not a sinner, needs to be a change in their life, and therefore are, when they're baptized, you can see it and know the difference and portray it. So I want to point that part of it out. But the fact that I was baptized, realized that I needed to be baptized, and it's not just even become saved, to be baptized, and try to follow the things of the Lord, just to continue to serve the Lord here. But it's a process that you need to go through and consider not only salvation, but being baptized, being part of a fellowship, and to serve the Lord.
Thank you, Dan. I have one more. Jorge Wong.
I do look forward to fishing home. I'm sure it will be important. Because I look forward to fishing home, my parents are choosing me. They would always expect me to be paid by now. They would also expect me to follow through.
thanks, Jorge, and Dan, and Don. Yes.
One more thing I was going to say. To me, baptism is a little bit like a dollar bill. You go over to some foreign country, it doesn't work. You have to have the right exchange. And so you have to, in order to be baptized, you have to be a believer. And another thing is that if you give a dollar bill to a two-year-old, it's just a piece of paper for them. There's no value. That's the way with baptism. If you're born again, you know the Lord wants you to go under the waters of baptism, it has value to you because in obedience. And you give the dollar bill to a five-year-old, and he knows what to do with it. It'll do something for him. It'll buy him something. And that's what baptism, I think, to me, represents.
I just wanted to say a few other things, and then if there's more comments, I can probably just go ahead. Here at the chapel, we would believe that the Bible teaches, and not just here at the chapel, but we believe that the mold of baptism now that we recognize that we've come to Christ, we want to follow him in baptism, but then there's how do you get baptized? And we believe that the scriptures teach that the baptism is by immersion. In other words, you go down in the water, you get wet, and you're down there, and you stay down there, you're dead. But that's not the way we're going to hold you down there, okay? So it's okay. But the primary meaning, I got a few notes here, the primary meaning of the word baptize in the original language is to immerse, okay? And this is where we're getting it from. And in the Greek language has other special words for sprinkle and pour, and these are never used in relation to and when the subject of baptism is considered. Okay, so that's another reason. That's one reason. And when baptisms are described in the Word of God, it talks about in. They went in. Okay, into. They came out of, or something like that. And so that would all indicate not just getting sprinkled, but going down into some water, okay? Another thing about immersion is it actually more vividly and everything else describes what happens when we become baptized. What we're saying and representing here is that we're dying with Christ. And like I said, if you stay down there, you would be dead and you stay dead, but instead, we get raised up in newness of life. The idea is to walk with Christ. We crucify that old man that's in us, you know, that wants to, as he said, whichever one you feed, you know, we got this new nature that God gives us. He doesn't fix up our old nature when we come saved, but he gives us a new nature. And we're saying that we're dead to that old sin, you know, and we want to live and walk for the Lord Jesus Christ. So immersion more accurately portrays the truth, or represents the truth. And then, as we read in Romans 6, the argument in that passage assumes baptism by immersion. Another assumption in the Word of God that you understand when you become baptized is by immersion as the whole. Nowhere in the scripture is infant baptism come from. That makes a lot of sense. Because if infant baptism would save a child from hell, then what was the purpose of God sending his son and the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. It makes his sacrifice essentially invalid. And another thing is, what kind of a God would take children, and there's a lot of children that have died before age of responsibility, and let's say if their parents didn't take them to get baptized or something, what kind of God would send that child to hell? It doesn't even make sense that way, you know? Because the child has no way of saying, I want to be baptized, I want to go to heaven. And that isn't God, okay? And so, we conclude that it even doesn't work. Okay, let's say a child was baptized, the parents had that child baptized as an infant, and later in life, there's no visual, I can't think of the word, but proof, you might say, that that person has really been born again, because they're living like the devil. And so what did that mean? It means nothing. It meant nothing. Okay? And while that may have been taught to many, all of you, that baptism at an infant is the way to do it, it's not taught in God's Word. And this is the, as we talked earlier, this is the guide, okay? And this is where it's at. Not what somebody else says, not what I say. Get into the Word and find out for yourself. Now, I'd leave it open for if anybody has any comments from the last.
I just like to say, baptism is like a part of the uniform of a person that loves the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you a soldier of the cross? Well, then you should act like it. You should do the things that the Lord asked. He asked you to be baptized. He asked you to remember the Lord. Now, when I was in the service, I wore a uniform. You didn't go no place out of that camp unless you were perfectly dressed the way you should be and represent your nation. You didn't get out the door. They said, no way, buddy. You either dress right or you don't get out. And if you don't do it a couple times, old KP will straighten you out. And some of these guys thought that they weren't going to do thus and so. Well, they'll end up doing thus and so when they get done with you. And it's the same thing with the Lord. If you're representing the Lord, you should be act like a Christian. You should be a soldier of the cross. How are you going to do it? When somebody says to you, why do you believe for what you believe, son? You ought to know what you believe. You ought to be able to tell them, hey, look, Buster, this is what I believe. Now, if you want to do whatever you want to do, fine. Be sure your sins will find you out. But this is what I believe. And this is what I know in the Scripture is the absolute truth. Not what I think, but the absolute truth. And fellas, today, more than ever, especially you young guys sitting there, you got to speak out and stand up for what you're for. You got to stand up. Listen, they know out there whether you're a Christian or not. It's not what all you say, it's what you do and how you walk. I had an aunt that said to one of my relations, it's all right to pray, but if you don't put some prayer under your some feet under your prayer, don't do much good to pray. And it applies to that. So remember, if you're a Christian, you're a part of the army of Christ. You should act like one, and a good soldier in the service. He dresses sharp, he honors the country, and so forth, and he upholds his country. You should do the same thing for the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd also like to say this, that here at the chapel, I was thinking what Jorge said about having to get in front of the whole assembly and give your testimony. That's not a total requirement that we have here, but that happens. But you will be asked. There's been a time in your life when you've received Christ as your Savior, and you'll have to answer to that in front of the congregation. And it's good, though, if somebody's considering baptism, that they would be able to say just a little how they were saved and what the Lord has done for them. I'd also like to say, well, we have, I should have brought a watch, but what do we got? it's not. Okay. I'd also like to say this, that, let's see, the Lord hasn't asked us to do impossible things in our life totally, you know what I mean? I mean, he can do impossible things with us. And we can accomplish things that we might think are impossible through his help. But he has asked us to do these couple things, okay? And one is, if we know him as Savior, he's asked us to follow him in baptism. And be obedient to him. And so, here today, all this is no good if we don't apply it, okay? If you haven't been baptized, if you're a believer, then I would say to you, if you haven't, why haven't you? You know? And I guess I would leave that with you to maybe haunt you and set the hook, as it were, as Don said, and make that decision to follow the Lord in baptism, and you can talk to them. None of us who are here are that young, so you can talk to any of the men here that are more or less take care of that, and we can talk with you, and you can set something up. I believe you probably are going to have a baptism in the future, so if the Lord's dealing with you, and you'd like to do that, do it. Now, I'd also like to say that if you're interested, consider attending. There's an Emmaus course called Buried by Baptism. It's not a hard course. It's quite easy, but if you take it, you need to do it. And it's available to you if you like it. And I'll just say that, and it goes with that. Now, our time is done. And how about Tim, if you'll just close our time.